Pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
You need to eat your green beans. And he'd look up and he'd say, well, how many do I have to eat? This is what living by the law looks like. Well, son, you got to eat seven.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Remade, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program today, I sure want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So, as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Don't miss it. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. We're going to give you more on all this later in the program. But right now, let's dig in and get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Okay, beloved, are you ready for some good news? The new covenant that has been made and kept in Christ is not a modified old covenant. It is a new covenant. It is categorically new. It is altogether new. It is unlike the old. And when you see how new it is, it changes everything. We are in the final message of a long series from the prophet Jeremiah. And as is always the case, part of me just hates to move on, because the power of these prophetic text of restoration and God's promise to us in the midst of difficult times has been so nourishing to me, and I hope to you. And we come to what is the pinnacle of these prophetic restorative promises in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31, "Behold, the days of the Lord are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers," not like that covenant. He's speaking of the Mosaic covenant, not like that covenant. Say that with me, not like that covenant. Because that's what we're going to be exploring today. Why is it so different, the new covenant? "Not like that covenant I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Wow. We had a little boy in the church that he got sick, and I went to the doctor and they listened to his chest and took some chest x-rays. The doctor came back in the room, told the mom, and the little boy was sitting there, said, "Well, he's got pneumonia." And the little boy just burst into tears. And they said, what's wrong? And he said, "I don't want the new pneumonia. I just want the old pneumonia." Have you ever thought about, it seems like in this world, so few things are actually new. Even pneumonia is not new. It's been around a long time. And sometimes, you know, we'll call something new, and we really mean it's just new expression or new to me. When I buy a used car, I'll come in and say, "I got a new car." Well, it's not new. It's just new to me. And even sometimes we'll say, "I got a new lease on life." Well, we really mean that I've got a new perspective, but it's not something that's absolutely totally new. And yet in this world, there are a few things that are completely new, like a little baby, that never existed before, and totally new, which gives me a wonderful opportunity in the midst of a lot of grief in our family, in a little parentheses, to say, I'm going to be a grandpa. I'm gonna be a grandpa. And our son Bennett and Amy, they live in Charlotte now, and they've been married for four and a half years, and they're expecting in October. And we just need to go ahead and set this straight right now. The number of grandbaby sermon illustrations is going to be obnoxious. So just get used to that. You know, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I got to decide what I'm going to be called. I'm working on that. I'm praying on that. I need a revelation about that. But we don't have many things in life that are just brand new, like nobody's ever seen this before. But the new covenant is so new that nobody ever expected it. And I have spoken on the new covenant from time to time over the years, and I don't know of a theological revelation more important to me than seeing this. Perhaps it's a refresher for you, or perhaps it is something that will open your eyes to what really the gospel is in a whole new way. We're talking about the new covenant and what's so new about it, and we ought to start with this: what was wrong with the old covenant? The problem is the old covenant just didn't work. It's not God's fault. In fact, this is the premise, the story, the foundation behind all of these judgment oracles in Jeremiah, that the people of God had disobeyed. And because God is just, and he said there must be punishment for disobedience, and he disciplined the people, and that's what exile was about. That's why they went to Babylon. Because God had spoken through Moses. We won't look at it, but it's back in Exodus 19, right before he gave the law at Mount Sinai. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you all of my statutes, and if you will obey, then you will be my treasured people, and I will bless you. And the people all said, yes, yes, we will obey everything that you've said. And so that's what the old covenant was. And it's sometimes called a covenant of works. It's still God's grace that he was revealing the proper way to live. It's still God's grace that he was revealing himself to the people. The problem with the old covenant was that it was outside of them. It wasn't something, it was like, here are these commandments on stone tablets, and you obey this external code. And it just didn't work. It's like if you can imagine someone being in a kind of debt that no matter how hard they try, they just can't pay it. It's kind of the thing we saw in the housing crisis, where we became familiar with that term of a mortgage being underwater, you know, where you have a home mortgage that the loan, your debt, is a larger amount than what your house is worth. So even if you wanted to just sell the house and get rid of your debt, you couldn't. So if you're in that situation and you've lost your job and you can't pay your mortgage payment, what do? You can't do anything. You don't have a means by which you can somehow satisfy that debt. That's an underwater mortgage. Well, in a lot of ways, that is the predicament that happened with the law. So God is holy and perfect and righteous and good and beautiful and gracious, and he gives all this law, and the people say yes. And so there's a covenant, there's an agreement that we must obey, and God has given all this, and yet they don't obey. And so the inward innate sin in humanity is like that debt, and it's just like we're underwater, and we don't have the capacity to keep all the law. Try as hard as you will, you won't. Every single person has fallen into sin. Every single person is born in sin. Every single person still sins. That's the problem. And this is why the writer of Hebrews just says it very plainly in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. As it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So that's what we're looking for today. What are those better promises that are categorically different than the old covenant? What are those? We're going to look at that. Verse 7 of Hebrews 8, for if that first covenant, the Mosaic covenant of the law, If that covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. So there's something wrong with it. It's a system in which the people cannot obey. And they cannot be righteous, and so they cannot keep it. So something had to change. If we were ever going to fully fellowship with God and receive fully all the blessing that God has always wanted to pour out in our lives, there needed to be a different kind of covenant.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Maybe you're like many Christians in America today. You're stunned by how fast a nation's culture has turned away from God. The values of our country have changed. Suddenly, most people don't go to church or have a biblical worldview. It can make you feel like an alien in your own culture. There's a lot to learn from Daniel when he was exiled to the pagan land of Babylon. Through our special offer this month, you can learn to live under the favor of God in an alien culture the way Daniel did. When you give before the end of the month, we'll send you Pastor Allen's audio series, Daniel, A Favored Foreigner. You may feel like a stranger in this world, but as God showed favor to Daniel in his foreign land, God's grace is upon you as well. Your donation will not only help you navigate through these troubling times, but it will also help someone else. Thanks for your partnership with Allen Wright Ministries. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks.
Now, we are in our final days of offering this special product.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
I want to talk to you about what's so new about the new covenant. And here's what Jeremiah first prophesies. All of this that he prophesies is going to come to pass in Christ Jesus, who at the Passover held up one of the Passover cups and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you." Well, what has he prophesied here? This is amazing. All of this fulfilled in Jesus. And the first is that at verse 33, "I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts." God says here that the code of conduct, the behaviors and thoughts of your life that I so want to be right and holy and pure and good and godly. All of that, he's promising through Jeremiah, that's external, here it is, outside of you, and you got to try hard to obey it, is going to come inside you. What does that mean? It means to have the law written on your heart means that now obedience to God is not an effort. Listen to this. It is not an effort to keep a religious code. It is a transformed inward way of thinking, being, and feeling. It's sort of like like when I was a kid, I was such a picky eater. I was a terrible picky eater. And now that my mom's in heaven and not sitting in church, I can tell some things. And one of them is I never had the heart to tell her that I hated vegetables so bad as a little boy that when she'd turn her head, I would scoop my green beans down into a napkin and excuse myself to the bathroom and flush them down the toilet just to try to get out of the pressure of having to eat my vegetables. I hated them. I hated them. And I remember when it was that I first realized a green bean wasn't that bad. I was a junior in college. And we'd gone to church, some of us, and we went to the K&W in Chapel Hill, down at that mall in Chapel Hill. We went to K&W, and I decided I was going to try some green beans. I got some green beans and some fried chicken or something on a Sunday afternoon at K&W, and I thought, these aren't that bad. I don't know, my taste just changed. They're just not that bad. And then I started eating more green beans. And now, sometimes, you know, I just give me a big bowl of green beans. And my wife cooks them the way Mama Bennett, her grandmother, did, where you bring them down, boil all the water out until they slightly burn a little bit, and then stir them around in there just a little bit. Anyway, I love green beans. Well, when our little boy, Bennett, came along, and he was even pickier than I was. Y'all, I mean, this, I watched him, and I knew what he was thinking and what he was feeling when Ann would be like, "You need to eat your green beans." And he'd look up and he'd say, "Well, how many do I have to eat?" This is what living by the law looks like. "Well, son, you got to eat 7. And he put those 7 beans over on the side of the plate, count them out, try to find the smallest ones, and sit there and work on it throughout the whole meal, dreading every bite. I remember one time she tried to get him to eat a Brussels sprout or something, and I looked at the little guy. I felt so sorry. He about gagged. He about threw up. I told my wife, I said, "Honey, we are not, I don't lay the law down about many things, but we are not going to fight about him eating his green beans or anything else." I said, "There will be a day in which he's going to like vegetables, and we're not, life's too stressful. We're not fighting over the kid eating the food. It will change, I promise you." And then a lot of time went by, and I thought, boy, I hope I'm right about that, because, you know. And somewhere, I don't know, around about the time he was a junior in college at Baylor, and I noticed he started eating some green beans. And now Bennett is a side thing. He kind of likes doing some gourmet chef stuff in the kitchen, and he fixes everything and every kind of vegetable, and he loves it all. It's all the difference in the world between how many green beans, mama, do I have to eat, which I hate eating and I don't want to eat, but I'll do it out of some kind of raw obedience just so I can have dessert, versus I like green beans. I'll put my law inside of you means you're going to ever increasingly, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, love what I love, God says. You're going to have an appetite for what is best for you, because you're going to be conformed increasingly to my design for your life, such that you're not even going to be thinking about it. You're just going to be desiring it, and it's going to change all your behaviors. It's going to change all your thoughts. It's going to change everything in your life. We had celebration for my father-in-law who died unexpectedly last week. And I've grieved as hard as I've ever remember grieving. As hard as I ever remember grieving, and I'm grieving still. You know, sadness on top of sadness. My mom in January, and I said at the memorial service yesterday, I said, I've been preaching out of the book of Jeremiah all year. And I once heard Lloyd Ogilvie, the pastor at Hollywood Press, years ago, and he said, I was at a conference with him, he said, "You know," he said, "it's amazing how whatever I preach, it seems like the Lord knows, and the things I need to grow in and experience, that's what I seem to be led to be preaching in my new sermon series, and I experience it all." He said, "So much, I can just about tell you what's going to happen in my life by what it is I'm preaching." And I said, "I understand the same thing, you know." And so here, I made the mistake of preaching the book of the prophet who was called the weeping prophet. And I've been weeping all year. So I just want you to know I'm searching out a sermon series for the summer on some happy topic. But the fact of the matter is that as we celebrated his life, I just made the statement, and I really, you know, I weigh my words carefully about my father-in-law, who's been part of my life for 2/3 of my life. This man that when I first was dating Anne, and she spoke so adoringly of, that I thought she was in denial. No man can be that good. And then I spent the next 39 years finding out she was right.
Absolutely.
Amen. And I weigh my words when I say this, but I do believe that if you put everything together of the nobility of a man's life and character that is consistent day in, day out, that, I mean, where you see it, you know, when he lives down the street from me. I mean, for most of the last 10 years, I've seen him every day, and he's part of our daily family and our daily life. That's why I'm grieving so hard, you know. And but I've seen that, and I think he's probably the best person I've ever known.
I agree with that.
I really do. I mean, there are people that are better at certain things, but in terms of just the whole picture. Well, so what am I doing right there? I didn't even, you know, I was preparing this message. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about mentioning that. And then I realized I'm not honoring my father-in-law because that's what a son-in-law ought to do. I can't help myself. I just honored him. I keep looking at this flower arrangement because it was here yesterday and it's making me think of him. But it's just spontaneous. I can't help but praise and honor Graham Lynch. I can't help it. And God said that we're to give him thanks. I don't get up in the morning and give God thanks because he said to, and I don't feel like, and I don't ever want to give him. I can't help myself but give him thanks when I think about what he's done for me. When the Lord says to praise him and to rejoice in his name, I'm grieving, but we're in the prayer room this morning and we're having joy. We're having joy, and I can't help myself. He's put his law inside of me. He puts what was once an external code down inside of you so that you like green beans now. I mean that metaphorically. Here's the second thing that's new, is he says, they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. No longer, verse 34, shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. It's not going to be where people are going to have to go around, you know, and say, let me teach you his statutes and let me tell you about how you ought to do that. No, it's going to be different than that. It's going to be something more powerful than that. It's going to be a Holy Spirit who's poured out at Pentecost. Well, all of a sudden, people of all walks of life and every nationality and young and old and boy and girl and men and women, all of them. He said, from the least to the greatest. It's not just going to be for the priest or the high priest. This isn't going to be about a beloved celebrity. This is going to be about every single person. And you're going to know the Lord. The definition of being a Christian is someone who knows God as his Father. Not knowing about him, but knowing him. That's the promise of the new covenant.
Alan Wright in today's Good News message, What's New? It's from the series Remade, and Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio sharing a parting good news thought for the day for you in just a moment.
Maybe you're like many Christians in America today. You're stunned by how fast a nation's culture has turned away from God. The values of our country have changed. Suddenly, most people don't go to church or have a biblical worldview. It can make you feel like an alien in your own culture. There's a lot to learn from Daniel when he was exiled to the pagan land of Babylon. Through our special offer this month, you can learn to live under the favor of God in an alien culture the way Daniel did. When you give before the end of the month, we'll send you Pastor Allen's audio series, Daniel, A Favored Foreigner. You may feel like a stranger in this world, but as God showed favor to Daniel in his foreign land, God's grace is upon you as well. Your donation will not only help you navigate through these troubling times, but it will also help someone else. Thanks for your partnership with Alan Wright Ministries. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks.
Now we are in our final days of offering this special product.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Back now here with Pastor Alan, and we're coming down to the home stretch here. The final message here coming on our next broadcast of the entire series Remade, and this teaching is What's New. So, you know, many of us have some kind of physical ailment, and that's an easy one to look at, say, oh, I can't wait till I get that new body and don't have to suffer anymore. I'm going to run faster. I'm going to jump higher. But there is truth for the today. In this as well.
Well, one thing that you can always rejoice in is that the new covenant is absolutely totally new. And that's what we're learning. And to me, Daniel, when I really understood the new covenant and I began to understand it's not a modified old covenant, it's new. It's something that the cosmos had never seen before. Right, it's something that no one had ever experienced. And so when you discover that, it changes everything. And we're going to learn about everything that's new about this new covenant, but the sneak preview of next time is that it's not about you. There's one God and one mediator, Paul said in 1 Timothy, between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. In the old, the covenant was between God and the people, but in the new covenant, this is between the Father and the Son. So be sure and tune in next time to learn what that's all about. It will change not just your theology, it will change your life.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.